Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Surely everyone is aware that there's an election coming up in November, but it's not only the presidency on the line. Democrats hold a slim one-vote majority in the Senate, and my next guest is focused on increasing that edge while also representing the state of New York. New York Senior Senator Chuck Schumer heads the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee, and he's the author of Positively American, Winning Back the Middle Class Majority One Family at a Time, just out in paperback. Welcome back to WNYC, Senator Schumer.
Amy, it's great to be back with you.
Democrats and Republicans are actually tied in the Senate, but the two independents caucus with you, including Senator Lieberman, who's backing Republican John McCain for president. What's your best guess about where you will end up after the election?
Well, it's hard to pick a number right now. I think we'll pick up a significant number of seats. The wind is clearly at our back. People want change, and it's not like the 2004 or 2000 elections where most Americans were pretty happy with the state of things. And so when the campaigns devolved into this sort of back and forth, all this nastiness and silliness, that seemed to hold sway. When people really worry about their future, they worry about gas prices and schools and health care, the kind of attack aspects of the campaign, which Republicans have generally been better at than Democrats, both sides do it, become less important. But key for we Democrats, whether it's the presidency or the Senate, is having a really coherent platform that appeals to swing and average voters. And that's what I put forward in my book, and that's why we put it out in paperback at this point in time, to hopefully help influence and move the party in a direction where we can talk about practical but deep and far-reaching programs on things like energy and education and health care and immigration and foreign policy that will cement a majority for a long time. Newt Gingrich said about my book, he said, if Democrats follow Schumer's book, they'll be the majority party for 25 years. We'll see.
Your book was written before oil prices spiked, though. How does our current economic picture affect any of your proposals?
Well, the book sort of anticipated that energy prices would go up and, in fact, proposed the kind of change that we really need. In the short run, I have nothing against increasing in the short term the supply of fossil fuels. There's plenty in the Gulf. There are parts of Alaska, not in the Alaska wilderness, that we could drill. There are federal lands where we can drill on. But we're not going to drill our way out of the problem. And the book focuses on conservation. California, you'd be amazed to know, if you take away cars, it would have the lowest per capita consumption of energy, even with cars. It's fourth or fifth lowest. And that's because they put in building codes in 1978, appliance codes and utility codes that made them much, much more efficient. California's efficiency outside of cars is about the level of Denmark. It's easy to do. Why aren't we doing it? And then we propose one other thing on energy.
Uh-huh.
We propose that a panel of experts, seven experts, spend a year and come up with a plan that will eliminate the need to import oil within 9 years after that. And then there is, and this is the key, and they'll come up with, they'll say, this is how much wind we need and solar, and should we have an electric car, a natural gas car, and here's what needs to be done to get to those things. But then we just require one up or down vote. In other words, Congress would pass a law that would empower these experts and say a year later, once the plan is presented, there's just a yes or no vote. Because what tears us apart on energy is all the various interest groups that say, I'm not going to do anything unless we put a lot of money into coal degasification, even if it might not work.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have just a yes or no vote, basically these days, even more strongly than when we wrote the book, people would be saying, okay, if $4 gas prices or not, here's a plan to get rid of it. It might have nuclear, might have some things I don't like. But we need one plan done by experts in a non-political, non-geographic way, and then we all ought to get behind it.
In your book, you outlined some proposals about how the Democrats can win back the middle class. A similar effort was published on the Republican side, Grand New Party, How Republicans Can Win the Working Class and Save the American Dream by Ross Douthat and Ryan Salam. Similar proposals there between the two of you?
No, the bottom line is that I believe you need more active government to help people. And I think the average citizen realizes that. I think the 2008 election could be one of these what I call tectonic plate elections, where the big plates underneath things move. We've only had two in the last 100 years. One was in 1932 when the country was a mess and Roosevelt said we need a more active government. People took a gamble on Roosevelt. He created a more active government, got us out of the mess, and created two generations of Democrats. Even people like Eisenhower and Nixon played on the Democratic field. Reagan comes in. The next election is 1980, and Reagan comes in and says, you don't need government anymore. And the average middle-class person said, you know, I'm doing great. I don't need any more help. Reagan created a generation of Republicans. Bill Clinton played on the Reagan field, and we're still playing on it. But why has it changed? It's changed because technology is pushing people around, whether it's terrorism, living much longer, globalization. The whole world is different than it was 10 or 15 years ago because of technology. And the average citizen correctly says, I can't do this all on my own anymore. I need a little bit of help. And that's why the more active government that we propose in our book and that Democrats stand for, what we do is just take that basic shibboleth and give some really concrete actions, how to solve the immigration problem, how to solve the health care problem, how to solve the energy problem.
I'm speaking with Senator Charles Schumer. I'm Amy Edding, sitting in for Brian Lehrer. Senator Schumer, going back to that comment you made about you think this election could change the tectonic plate of politics. Are you concerned, though, about how close the polls are in the presidential race between Obama and McCain, if this is going to be such a tectonic shift?
But I think that is not because there isn't a tectonic shift. There is. Obama is new. He's a different style politician, obviously the first African-American running. People are not familiar with him. He hasn't been on the national stage. And they know McCain. He's a set quantity. And I think as people get to know Obama, and particularly if he campaigns on issues, how he's going to help the average family, he has a good way of talking to them, his lead is going to increase with one caveat. They do have to hit back. The Britney Spears commercial, which the Republicans ran, it's basically their same pattern. It was done very cleverly, in my opinion, saying he's not one of us. He's a celebrity. He's an elitist. That's what they did with John Kerry. You know, he's not one of us. He does this windsurfing, and he's French, so to speak.
Were you satisfied with Barack Obama's response to that?
I would have been a little tougher. I would have said, who's not one of us? John McCain, who wears the Ferragamo shoes, who has 6 houses or something like that, who comes from one of the richest families in Arizona, while Barack Obama has had to climb his way up. He knows what it's like to worry about food and paychecks. And then I would have gone into the platform. That's why Obama is for reining in the oil companies to bring down gas prices, or for a more active government in terms of health care, because he knows what it's like to worry if you can't pay for your child's health care.
Barack Obama.
No, I'd be a little tougher. I'd be a little tougher. We have in the DSCC, Amy, we have something called the 24-hour rule. When the Republican candidates hit our candidates, with a tough ad, sort of like Britney Spears' ad,
right,
we must respond with the same velocity, speed and strength within 24 hours, and that's what helped us take back the Senate.
Barack Obama's looking for a vice presidential candidate. Any suggestions for him?
Not publicly.
Okay. Could his choice of a vice president mess up your chances of a bigger majority in the Senate? There was a lot of speculation about Indiana Senator Evan Bayh yesterday. Would you prefer Obama to stay away from red state Democrats?
All things being equal, we would prefer that, but we'll defer to whatever choice he has and try to win the seat if he picks somebody from a red state. But obviously, from our point of view, when it's so close and picking up seats in the Senate, at least we hope that would be a factor that goes into his consideration.
The convention's coming up. Your fellow New York Senator Hillary Clinton is not ruling out having her name placed in nomination. I know you're a big supporter of hers. What do you think she should do?
Well, you know, I think Hillary and Barack, I talked to Hillary last night about this. They're talking about the best way to channel the energy of Hillary supporters, many of whom are disappointed, into this campaign. And I think they'll work out an accommodation. I can tell you that Hillary Clinton, as disappointed as she is in not having won this election, knows how important it is to take, as we would say, take back the government, because these 7 years of George Bush have been a disaster. And I think that 4 years of John McCain with fundamentally the same policies could really hurt America in very serious ways. We cannot afford another 4 years of this.
Let's talk about the economy for a second. You're getting blamed for the run on IndyMac. Scared depositors expressing your concerns about its viability. 11 days later, depositors withdrew $1.3 billion.
Yeah, this is just typical what the Bush administration does. No one letter from one senator is going to bring down a bank. The bottom line is that this bank was in huge trouble. It is the poster child for the worst of the banks. It's sort of the son of Countrywide. They did no-doc loans. They duped borrowers and customers. And the regulators, particularly the OTS, which is their primary regulator, was asleep at the switch. And I wrote a letter and said, hey, get with it. This bank is in huge trouble. Its failure was inevitable. Those aren't my words. Those are Bernanke's words. And I was just trying to get the regulators to move in. And the administration does what it always does. This is typical of the Bush administration from General Shinseki on. You know, they blame the fire on the person who calls in 911.
What do you think of the housing bill?
I think the housing bill was necessary. I think there are some very good parts to it. I was very active, for instance, in that we need more mortgage counselors to help people avoid foreclosure. I do think we needed to step in to say that the government would be behind Fannie and Freddie, because their failure would be a total disaster for us. Having said that, I think there's still more to be done. And the administration, once again, this sort of anti-government laissez-faire policy hurts. And in the housing crisis, I think if you talk to CEOs of big companies and conservative Republican economists, they'll be amazed at how little the administration did.
We're going to be talking with Thomas Frank, author of the new book, The Wrecking Crew, How Conservatives Rule, published by Metropolitan Books, next hour. He talks a lot about conservatives and their laissez-faire view of government, but that's for the next hour. Finally, Senator Schumer, the Department of Transportation's plans for auctioning off landing slots at New York airports, we talked about that yesterday. You think more air traffic controllers and better air traffic technology will solve the problem rather than an auction of the slots. Why?
An auction is absurd. It hasn't been tried anywhere with any airports anywhere. And then you try it in the busiest airspace in America. It makes no sense. It will, you know, I'm sure Saudi Airlines can bid up these spots and knock out JetBlue. What good is that going to do? This is, you know, this was figured out by some right-wing ideologue in some ivory tower. You know, let the free market rule without any changes. The same kind of people who said, you know, 50 years ago, don't regulate medications. Even if it kills you, people will learn that lesson, and no one will buy it again. And it makes no sense. What's happened here is, once again, the administration being anti-government and wanting just tax cuts for the very wealthy and not much else, didn't put the infrastructure into the FAA, GPS system that would have allowed a third more planes to take off and land safely in the same amount of time, developed actually in Syracuse by Lockheed Martin. And they don't buy it. London buys it. France buys it in 2001. Tibet bought it. They don't. Air traffic controllers. We should have about 45 in the towers. It's a very difficult, time-consuming job. we're a third short because they don't want government to run. Their only goal, ideologues, is shrink government so wealthy people have to pay less taxes.
Last
and
question.
That's led to our ruin.
Question, Senator Schumer. I know you have to go. Should Hillary put her name in nomination at the convention, yes or no?
Yeah, and I think the best way to do this would be to have Hillary and Barack sit down and work this out, and that's what's happening now, and I'll abide by whatever decision they come up with.
That's not yes or no, though.
Of course not, because whatever decision they come up with will be better than a yes or no.
Senator Charles Schumer, thank you so much for joining us.
Nice to talk to you, Amy. Bye-bye.
Coming up, get out the sweaters. It will be very expensive to heat your home this winter. We will tell you why after this.